Let's pray, pray, pray. All right, let's pray. I'm so glad to be here with you today. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for praying with me. I'm going to give you the phone number very quickly. I know so often people try to get through, and they're full. The number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149, and you could try to get through on the phone lines. Great way to get your intention to me is through Maggie, and she'll be joining me here in just a quick second. Send her a post on our X account, formerly known as Twitter, of course. And the handle there is at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. And she'll share it a little later in the chaplet. Of course, if you are streaming us, it's good to have you with us here on Facebook and on YouTube. If you want to get a peek into the chaplet as we do it live every afternoon now on over video. You can go ahead and do that and leave your intentions there. Maggie will share some of your intentions as well. A couple intentions that have come in this past week, and we had answer prayers. I had 2, 3, 4 missing people, right? We've prayed for, and they have somehow either been found or the situation has been resolved. Just received this email the other day. I was going through my emails. This person says, "Hey, Drew and Maggie, because of the chaplet's charism for missing people, I'm sending you this intention for a 37-year-old deaf who's been missing from St. Cloud, Minnesota now since February 11th. And they sent me this little blurb. It says, authorities are asking for the public's help to find a St. Cloud man who is deaf and is believed to be endangered. He's last seen on February 11th around the St. Cloud area. He uses American Sign Language to communicate. He's about 5'11", 180, brown hair and hazel eyes. Last seen wearing an orange baseball cap with a dark colored hat underneath, and they give a few more descriptions. The police are saying he sometimes wears a pair of black framed glasses, also has an eagle head tattoo on his back. Any information, contact the police in Minnesota, all right? So who knows? Maybe you're listening. Maybe you just came across that person. We have incredible results. You know, we've the missing, the lost, the abducted, the mentally challenged, the elderly. I mean, the results have been off the charts for the missing. I don't know why, but I'm going to throw that out. I want to continue to pray for Father Simon. Father, if you are listening, we are praying for you. I'm getting updates every day now on Father's condition. And say a prayer for him. He could certainly use your prayers, and he asked me to pass along to you the need to pray for him. He says, yeah, please keep the prayers coming. He says, I can certainly use it. You know, you get sick for a day or two, even for a week, you can deal with it. But when things become protracted, they become really difficult. It's really, really hard. So I'm just praying for Father for fortitude and for the grace he needs. One final intention. This person wrote to me and says, I just found out today that Jeff took his own life, and I'm asking, and I won't go through it all. They just said, I'm asking prayers for those who have lost hope and turned to suicide in desperation. So my heart goes out to the family, and I certainly want to pray for anyone right now who's considering maybe hurting themselves or maybe even taking their lives. So Maggie, what do you got coming in you want to pray for as we begin?
Well, today was the Illinois March for Life, and I just want to pray for anyone that was brave enough to go out and stand up for this cause. I want to pray especially for these states here in the Union who allow sort of the degenerate behavior of big cities to rule the entire state. You know, and there's good people in these states that don't agree with this. I just pray that these things can be overturned someday.
We're going to win. We are on the winning side. I know that.
Good.
And we're going to look back at this chapter in American history like we do slavery. Mm-hmm. People are going to say, how did that ever happen? How could people allow something like that to take place? To me, it's mind-boggling, but I often go back to that very simple spiritual principle that sin darkens the mind, right?
Yep. Yep.
It makes you stupid.
Yep.
Bedims the intellect, hardens the heart. So let's pray for a culture of life. Let's pray for peace in the world, and especially in this country. Let's pray for our leaders and world leaders. And we'll, of course, pray for each other. I want to just share one or two quick little answer prayers that just came in as well. And this person just says, Drew, God is great. With the guidance of our Lord and a hardworking attorney, we've been praying for resolution to a problem we have. We just reached an agreement in our son's case. No. Well, let me back up. Let me share with you what they said. This is what they wrote to me. And Dennis, I'm going to share your name. He says, could you pray for my son? He was born with a brain malformation and has autism. Currently, he's going through a legal issue. Could you pray that the DA and the judge consider his obstacles? The DA is pursuing a felony charge. We believe in the power of prayer. And I remember sharing that intention. It came in a week or two ago. My heart went out to that father. You know, you asked that God, you know, touch the judge's heart, so he sits on the throne of mercy. And just got this today. God is great. With the guidance of our Lord and hardworking attorney, we reached an agreement in our son's case. No jail time, no permanent record. And I'm just saying, thanks be to God.
Wow.
Dennis, congratulations. Wow. That's the power of God's mercy. I believe it. Changes hearts, changes outcomes. Another person wrote to me, hey, long story short, Drew and Maggie, I was praying for 20 years to sell a business building. They prayed the chaplet. The business didn't succeed early on. After 20 years, I did sell it. So praise be God. So, you know, I love the intentions we hear about physical healings, but I like these court cases. I like the buildings there, the homes that couldn't sell and issues get resolved, you know. Let's pray right now for you. All right, we'll ask God to continue to fill your life with many answers, and just pray that God will allow you to see the tangible results of your prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's take our first call today. It comes from Bella, who's praying with us in Texas. Hey, Bella.
Hi, Drew. My call is for a praise report. I called in for prayer for my grandniece, who was born with an issue, and she's quite well now, gone home. She's eating well and doing good.
All right. Praying
that her parents will be given courage and to be free from stress over the baby and the grandparents. And I also pray for a sister who's looking for a job, that she will be blessed with a job. She's very depressed, and that God will bend all others in my family looking for steady jobs and for good partners in life. That seems to be a dilemma.
Hey, Bella, do me a favor, if you could, too. Pray for Mike. I got two kids who are looking for work, too. One needs and wants to change her job.
I do pray.
Thank you.
I do pray for them, because I heard it's your son and daughter, right?
I am, yes, and I am very grateful for those prayers. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yes.
My wife, I know, is in a novena right now, and I, of course, I've been praying, and I'm going to pray for your intentions, too, when I get off the air. I'll stop by our chapel here, the Chapel of the Proclamation.
Thank you for all that I carry in the silence of my heart.
All right. Well, God bless you, and I'm so happy for that praise report. I love it. So glad to hear about your grandniece and how well she's doing. I know we prayed for that intention not too long ago. Lord, I thank you for the answered prayers. I pray for those who are underemployed and unemployed, who need changes of venue or new jobs. Lord, I want to pray for all of Bella's intentions. You hear her prayers. And Lord, I thank you for the miracles that are now unfolding, the healings that are now taking place, the answered prayers that are now in motion. And I just give you thanks also. We often petition you, but I thank you for your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I just love this family, Maggie. We're a spiritual family. Everybody prays for each other. I can't tell you how often I'm praying for you and for your intentions. And I'm very grateful for your prayers. I know Maggie is as well. A lot of prayers coming for your baby, Maggie. Special child, I am sure, with the amount of prayer that is.
I'm so humbled.
Blanketed your baby.
I'm so humbled by the way people, you know, send us messages and they call in, you know, sometimes they call in with something very serious themselves and they start with, hey, Drew, I'm praying for you, Maggie, I'm praying for you and the baby. And it's like, you're so generous with your thoughts and your prayers for others. It's just beautiful.
I love it. Michelle in Brea, California. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Maggie. Thank you for taking my call. My intention today is for my aunt, who is 81 years old. About a week and a half ago, she took a fall. She did better and got out of the hospital, but now she's in the ER with nausea and chills, and I'm just praying for her to have a healthy recovery and the doctors to figure out what's going on with her.
All right, let's pray for her right now. Thank you, Michelle. And I would pray for all your personal needs. I know you're praying on behalf of your aunt. You're a good niece. And Lord, I just pray for the elderly. I want to pray for those who have suffered injury, falls, tragedy, accidents, those who are in need of recovery right now. I give you Father Simon again. I want to pray for Sabina, who just came to mind, a friend of my aunt's. And I give you the infirm. And I just ask for your mercy. I ask for healing. As we turn to you now, for whatever the ailment, malady, degenerative disease might be, that your children are crying out to you with, Heavenly Father, I ask you to hear their prayers. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we're going to Maggie. Maggie is keeping her eyes on your intentions, and you can get to her very easily. You can send her a tweet or a post at our X account at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. You can drop her a note on Facebook as well. We're streaming the show live there and on YouTube as well. And she'll put her eyes on whatever your intentions are. Send me your answer prayers, though. I want to see those, want to share those with you. You can email me, drew@relevantradio.com. I want to pray for a man named Rob. I spoke to Rob last night. R squared. I'll keep his last name private, but he was struggling with bronchitis. And Rob, I'm praying for you. I promised you I would, and I'm going to continue to do that. Maggie, what's coming in?
Carol wrote to us from Minnesota, Drew. She says, hey, Drew and Maggie, my friend's 4-year-old grandson has a brain tumor and is scheduled for surgery this Thursday. His name is Asher. Also, my friend Linda has Lyme's disease and is praying for healing and relief. She also wants to grow her family. Thank you, Carol. Mary from Wisconsin wrote to us. She said, please pray for a miracle healing for my husband, Matt. He's been receiving treatment for leukemia. Though his white blood count is responding to that treatment, the severe swelling over his entire body is getting worse. He's in continuous pain and can only move from chair to chair. He's only 60 years old, and we need a miracle. I think he's giving up hope of ever feeling better. She says the Divine Mercy image sits prominently on our desk in our living room where my husband sleeps in a lift chair. Jesus, we trust in you. Amen. Becky from Chicago wrote to us. She said, thanks for your prayers, Drew and Maggie. Please pray for my brother who needs a full-time job as soon as possible. His son is my godson. It's nearing deadlines for his home, so he's desperate. Asensio wrote to us and said, praise God, as I type this, after 7 days, my daughter's IV is coming off and we are going home.
That is great news.
Her daily struggle of living with Rett syndrome, I'm not sure what that is, but Rett syndrome, including daily seizures, is our life. But the struggle of her breathing was tough. Please pray for all living with Rett syndrome. Dustin wrote to us the other day. He was the one that suggested I name my baby Dustin.
I know,
he said, please pray for me. I had a job interview this morning. Pray that they pick me. And lastly, our friend Mary Fiorito posted that Cardinal George passed away 9 years ago today.
Yep.
She said, ask him for a favor today. He is a generous man, especially on special days.
Hey, Mary, if you're listening, by the way, we were going to reach out to her. I knew it was it's a 5-year anniversary of his death. He passed away in 2015.
She said 9 years ago.
Yeah, 2015 he passed away, I should say. And he was so instrumental with Relevant Radio here. I mean, we were going to reach out to Mary and put her on because she worked with him intimately and she knows the power of not only his holiness, but the power of his intercession. I love that. We'll call upon those who've gone before us. You know, I believe in the servants of God, the venerables, the blessed. I say it all the time. I'm going to do that, Mary. I'm going to ask him today for a special favor, and I would encourage everyone else to. What else, Mag? Didn't mean to step on you.
That's it. I was going to say we should invoke his intercession for Father Simon and Gabby and her baby.
Yeah, for the whole Relevant Radio team here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Tom and I met, and one of our other producers, you might not see Tom, but Maggie joins me here in studio. Tom is another producer that works on the show with us, and we said, should we talk about the legacy of Cardinal George? Because he was a powerhouse. He really was. He was so instrumental. We'll call upon his intercession, and we'll add Mike to this intention as well. Mike is in Menasha, Wisconsin. Hi, Mike. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm suffering physically all day long, severely, and I just need prayers because I don't know. I feel like I can't get help from anybody, and I feel like I can't approach a priest for confession, and I just need help, comfort, and protection from God.
Mike, let me just ask you something. Do you want to go to confession? Is that what you want to do?
I want to, but I feel so like suffering. I feel like I can't get help there either.
Because if you can't get to church, you can always call the priest, and he'll come and visit you. But I don't know what you're struggling with, and you don't necessarily have to.
It's just all in my physical inside, my physical body. It's just severe suffering. And I just feel like God wants me to suffer. I don't know.
Well, let me just share something with you regarding suffering. And if the Lord is asking you to suffer, it is a tremendous, tremendous gift. The Lord told St. Faustina, diary entry 1184, he said to her, when it seems to you that your suffering exceeds your strength, and I think that's where you are right now, he said, contemplate my wounds. Okay, meditate on the passion of the Lord. And the Lord said, it will help you rise above all things. But he went on to talk about the value of suffering. And I know we all have crosses, but yours seem pretty difficult. Faustina wrote in her diary, she says, if only the suffering soul knew how loved it was by God, it would die of joy. You know, she says, someday we're going to know the value of our suffering. And she was willing to endure, she said to the Lord, because she had this experience of going before the Trinity. She had she glimpsed heaven. She knew the beauty, the majesty, the mystery that awaits us. You know, St. Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the beauty that awaits us, right? But Faustina said she would have taken on all the suffering of all the martyrs combined if it meant experiencing God just one degree more. And she wrote in her diary, if you only knew, if the suffering soul only knew how much you are loved by God, you would die of joy and excessive happiness. Because someday, she says, you'll know the value of what you're going through, you're suffering, but you'll no longer be able to suffer. And this is our moment. The present moment is ours. So if you are struggling right now, you got a cross in your life, embrace it, thank God for it, and know it is meritorious, and use it. Use it for the conversion of others. Use it for whatever you are praying for right now. And Lord, I just ask that you help those who feel that they can no longer carry their crosses. I ask that you allow these experiences to be meritorious. And I ask that those who are suffering, Lord, can feel and know how much you love them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go down to the Dallas area next. Joanne is listening to us there. Hi, Joanne. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, sir. Hi, Maggie. Hi, calling because I'm suffering greatly with Parkinson's disease the last 4 years, and I had come down here from the Chicago area. I lived near Marytown at the time for 25 years, and my daughter got married, and her husband will not allow her to take care of me because he says that once they got married, I don't have any family, and I'm by myself, which is true. I mean, I don't have a husband or older son who will help. And my widowmaker is completely blocked, and I had a catheterization just a couple weeks ago and put a stent in. And I can't be left alone so much because I'm frightened of falling.
Well, Joanne,
I'm praying my son-in-law let my daughter help me.
Yeah, that's absolutely horrible, you know, if that's indeed the case, that he will not let his own, you know, your own daughter take care of her mother. But your daughter, too, I mean, she should, you know, she should be far more compassionate and merciful to you. She's your only child, or do you have other children, did you say?
My youngest two children died of genetic syndrome. My daughter in 2019 at 34, and I cared for her, and then a son at age 8, and my mother died.
Well, let's do this right now. I'm going to pray for you, Joanne, because I only have a few minutes, and I want to make sure that we can get all these calls in for you. What a horrible situation. But I believe the one prayer the Lord hears often is that prayer of conversion, and we're going to pray for the conversion of your son-in-law. We're going to pray for your daughter, and we're going to pray for your health and your condition. And Lord, I pray for those where there's family division, where there are gaps, where there are divides, where there's hurt, where there's woundedness. And I give you, Joanne, and all of her physical conditions as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Ray is in Chicago. Ray, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Good. So I just want to say, have a quick prayer for my son. He's a high school freshman, and a group of students from his school went down to Springfield today for the pro-life rally, and I just want to pray that to keep them safe, and if they could at least change one person's mind or influence one person, that would be a tremendous help.
Well, what a beautiful prayer, Ray. Thank you. We'll pray for your son, for safety. We'll pray for you, for all your intentions. And I just want to bring to the Lord now your needs, along with everyone who's on hold with me everyone who's praying with me, wherever they may be. Lord, I know you hear my prayers, and I'm so grateful for that. I ask you to hear the cries of all of your children as we turn to you with complete trust and confidence in your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
And Your Eminence, Cardinal George.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Quick note here, before I take a break, you should listen to this. I don't know if you have a loved one that is not going to church anymore. There's new data out right now. We're seeing spikes, right, in depression and anxiety. Drop in church attendance. A new study claims it could be responsible for young suicides. I know it sounds strange. I'll unpack it all for you right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Sponsor of the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
While more and more young adults are dropping out of church, according to a recent study, 66% have stopped attending. So what's behind this?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, stunning numbers. Wait till you hear what I'm about to share with you, and we can talk about it. You're more than welcome to join me, too, anytime to get in. 888-914-9149. Before I unpack all this for you, I just want to ask you to do me a favor and maybe do someone else. Tell others about that Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's such an unbelievably powerful prayer. I'm telling you, lives are changed in unbelievable ways as a result of it. And you'll be blessed for doing it. Trust me. God made great promises to those who spread devotion to his mercy. We pray every day at that time, and we'd love to go ahead and have our spiritual family just amplify their voice before the throne of God. And you can play a big role in that. All right. So that's my invitation to you. And we just tell one other person about it. Maybe send them a link to the app or to the feed or to whatever you listen to me on. Be great to also hear from you here. So feel free to dial in. Last week, during the show, I had this discussion about kids and phones, right? And we've had several of those, you know, and the connection between cell phones and anxiety and depression, and whether or not you should, you know, say no to whether or not you should let your kid have a phone under age 16, right? The impact of social media. Well, the problem, of course, is that access to apps like TikTok, They're causing a serious mental health crisis, with anxiety and depression rates going through the roof ever since these smartphones became ubiquitous. And the increased anxiety and depression, they're now leading to higher rates of drug use, and we're seeing the overdose rates go up. But guess what else is climbing? Suicide rates. It's pretty frightening if you think about it. I mean, as a parent, and my heart goes out to any mother or father or any sibling that has lost somebody by suicide. My heart goes out to you. It really does. So when I see these stories, I don't want other parents to know what that pain is like. And I thought we'd address what we're seeing. A lot of the blame for those things, of course, we're pointing the fingers at smartphones, technology. And you're not wrong to say that. I think they're contributing factors. But there's something else that's going on that came across my radar, and I thought, is that for real? Does it make sense? It's something a little more fundamental. There's a Harvard professor by the name of Tyler Vanderweil, wrote in the journal Harvard Public Health, and he said that based on the massive national nurses study, 40% of the increasing suicide rates in the United States might be attributed to the decline in attendance at religious services during that period. Can you believe that? He looked at a period between 1999 and 2014, and we know the numbers are probably even higher. There was another study that was done in the Journal of Religion and Health. So it's not just one study. It suggested declining church attendance. They did this a little broader study, looked between 91 and 19. And it accounted for a 28% increase in depression amongst adolescents. Dr. Vanderweil also cited large studies that have found that weekly religious service attendance is associated with lower mortality risk, lower depression, less suicide, better cardiovascular disease survival, better health behaviors, and greater greater marital stability, happiness, and purpose of life. So what's the bottom line? Get to Mass, right? Have God in your life. Yeah, as fewer Americans, and those in the West in particular, you know, stop going to church on a regular basis. There's, you know, what are we seeing? We're seeing people separate themselves from a great source of support in everyday living, but they're also separating themselves from a place that calls them to go beyond themselves and to live in a community with other people and not be isolated to their electronic devices. All this stuff is connected. All of this is connected. I'm joined right now by Gian Millis. He's a psychotherapist and a counselor with Integrity Counseling Services in beautiful King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. I know that area well, and he specializes in treating adolescents and people with drug and alcohol addictions and relationship problems and trauma and anxiety and depression. And if you want to join us, feel free to pull up to pull up a chair and dial in at 888-914-9149. You can check him out at integritycounselingpa.com if you find yourself struggling in any of those areas. Great to have you with me today, Doctor. Good afternoon.
Well, it's good to be here. And just a correction, I am in doctoral school, but I'm not yet a doctor.
Psychotherapist. All right. Well, good to have you with me.
Well, I have a master's degree and a license, and I'm working on the doctorate.
All right. Well, good luck with that. I hope you knock it out of the park. We need good, well-formed doctors, that's for sure. Fill me in, if you could, on this study. There are several studies. Why would not going to church on Sunday impact a person's mental health? I think that the current culture would say it's better not to go, so you have, you know, so you don't have to hear about how guilty you are, or, you know, whatever the other situation is. What is it about this that is showing up now in the data?
Especially that first study with the nurses' health study. It's a pretty robust study, there's evidence for the increase in depression as the church attendance goes down. That's particularly for people who find church attendance important to them. What's interesting about that study is that there is a reverse correlation. So in the sense that, people who actually don't believe religion should be important in their life, or that it is important in their life, they actually find that there's a similar, when they don't go to church, actually they're happier. So I think that could be confusing, and there's a lot more in the data. So I don't want to get too caught up in the exact numbers there. But I do think that it, you know, the one thing that researchers talk about and that people talk about is, you know, the horizontal dimension. So the horizontal dimension is just the community dimension. And so that, I mean, that in itself is very powerful. There's a lot of movements in various parts of psychology and counseling pushing for, you know, community involvement. And so that's one natural benefit, you could say, of, you know, church attendance. But then there's the vertical side of things and, you know, the actual spiritual life, you know, a person's relationship with God. And that again is another thing, you know, that I, you know, I've seen as a clinician provide an incredible amount of, you know, inspiration and hope and encouragement and consolation for people who are suffering.
That's fascinating. Let's go to the phones. We'll take a few calls for you as well. Martha's in California. Martha, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, but, yes, I think I noticed that secular music, it has a lot to do because it motivates people to do the wrong choices. Yeah. You know, I think.
All right. Martha, thank you. I'll throw that out. We can talk a little bit about it. We're talking right now, if you're joining me, on a couple studies that show that the decline in church attendance is linked to a mental health crisis. At least that comes from some Harvard research. And Martha's saying, okay, maybe the disconnect from God and church is one. What about the message the culture gives? The music in general, she thinks, could be driving people away from the church. And you can make a case for that. But your thoughts on that, Gian?
Sure. You know, I do think that there is, I mean, the music, especially pop culture music, has, you know, become much more crude in its language. There's much more reference to, you know, things like, you know, sexuality in a very, you know, kind of even disrespectful way than in the past. I do think that Satan is at work there in terms of, you know, suggestive messaging that is pulling people away from their inherent dignity and their faith.
I got to take a quick break here. Gian, stay with me. When we come back, we'll pick it up and we'll talk a little bit more. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in 888-914-9149. You know, we've talked, as I said, a lot about cell phones and the rise in anxiety, depression, and suicide. Today, some other studies saying lack of God, lack of church attendance could be driving those suicide rates amongst the young. I'll share some more data with you right after this.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is your last chance to accompany Father Rocky on a Relevant Radio pilgrimage to Poland and Prague in September. Very limited spots are available. Departing from Chicago and San Francisco airports only, reserve your spots now at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's great to be with you today. I'm grateful for your time. I am really delighted to be able to try to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. And you know, we've been talking, if you're just joining me, about cell phones. And we know ever since the advent of them, and I've had doctors on saying I wouldn't give them to my kids until they're 16 or older. Some are saying 18 or older. We live in a different time. You know, your kids are growing up or your grandkids are growing up in a time where we are so increasingly connected by technology. And it's ironic that a lot of people are finding themselves more isolated than ever. And isolation is not good for your mental health. You know, there was I spoke about a guy named Jonathan Haidt. He was latest bestseller. He wrote a book called The Anxious Generation, which he places the blame squarely on cell phones and social media for the rising tide of mental health issues amongst our youth. And I think there was a piece in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal addressed this issue as well. And drawn from you know, not only his work, there's a Harvard epidemiology professor, his name's Taylor Vanderweel. He thinks there's something that's been overlooked. And there's another aspect to this that I would have missed too, to be honest with you, but it makes total sense. He makes the case for church attendance. And he draws from extensive studies, and he links the spiritual drift that we are seeing in the culture today to what's an alarming rise in depression and suicide rates. And it makes total sense. When he says it, I'm like, duh, right? I mean, it was right in front of me all the time. Of course, of course. Let me share one stat with you. And this is the one that really struck me the most. His research suggests that as many as 40%, 4 out of 10, 2 out of 5 of the rising suicides can be connected to the decrease in religious engagement. You're worried about the mental health of your son or your daughter or your loved one? How about getting in the church, right? Now, this guy, Vanderweel, his voice got nearly stifled at Harvard. He faced backlash for his traditional views. His latest work, you know, signals that Harvard might still uphold, you know, maybe a spirit of academic freedom, shining a light on his findings, and I hope they will. But I'm joined today by a psychotherapist, and I want to get his take on it because I want to also understand where the medical community, where where psychotherapist and psychology is today. Gian Millis joins me today. He's a counselor with Integrity Counseling Services in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, and you can check him out at IntegrityCounselingPA.com. And they specialize with, as I said, everything from treating adolescents to people with everything from addictions to ADHD and explosive anger, everything in between. You and I were talking during the break, and it kind of made me think a little bit about what I, you know, about this point of the medical or the therapy community out there, psychologists, psychiatry, the mainstream view of this. Where are your colleagues when it comes to the thought that lack of God or lack of religious participation might result in 2 out of 10 suicides?
That's a great question, Drew. So I'm really blessed right now to work in a small Catholic counseling group. And so, you know, all of us at that group, we are all on board, you know, and I really think it's what the evidence is saying as well, in terms of the benefits of church attendance and the negative outcomes that are associated with not attending church. I will say, in the broader psychological and counseling and therapy communities, there's a lot more skepticism. I think that, you know, in addictions, there's a little bit more of an openness towards, you know, spirituality, because the 12 steps include the spiritual dimension as you know, a really important part of their program. But in the wider academic and therapeutic communities, I think there's a lot of skepticism. I think there's a lot of, you know, really discrediting what we know, what we found to be true through the data. And so I think right now, you know, we are fighting an uphill battle, you know, in most professional organizations there, you know, the APA, American Psychological Association, ACA, American Counseling Association, there's a you know, usually a subdivision, you know, for spirituality and religion. But it's just one of many, and it doesn't get any kind of particular special attention. So I think it's, like I said, I think it's an uphill battle right now, you know, for, in terms of, making a bigger waves in the community.
Right. So let me ask you a fundamental question. If you've got a child that is depressed, anxious, or maybe having suicidal ideation, I want to, of course, get help, but how do you get somebody who doesn't want to go to church back to church? How can you turn the tide if clearly there's evidence pointing to the fact of lack of religious participation is having this type of impact? How do you remedy that within your family? What advice do you give to parents of people who come to church? Because, you know, I know some of the aspects of this is about finding purpose and nurturing one's mental health, and there's benefits to being in community, but what are the strategies to encourage religious participation, and how do you get your loved ones back to church?
Well, another really good question, and this one I think is a bit more individualized and delicate. So actually, I heard a while back, it was on a radio show kind of similar to this. And, you know, it was a mother who was calling in, and she said that she noticed that her daughter, you know, became more faithful when she stopped talking to her daughter so much about God. And when she started talking to God more and more about her daughter.
Wow.
And so I think that, you know, we can't underestimate the power of God to change the hearts and the minds of a young person who's decided to reject the faith. A lot of young people, you know, they go through a stage of pulling away from the faith and exploring the world. So we do know that that's somewhat normative, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that, you know, the most important things you can do is you know, cultivate your own relationship with the Lord and you know do your best to practice your Catholic faith,
yeah.
Being with the sacraments and praying as a family. So that's something that, you know, you may receive some pushback if it hasn't been done consistently, you know, that's okay. I think making a push to pray with the family every day, if you can, a rosary every day, if you can, you know, I think that is right there. That's going to be as powerful as anything else. Those actions are going to speak louder than any words that you can give them. Making the arguments, there's a time and a space for that. But I do think that, you know, that your own prayers and your own actions are going to have even a more profound impact.
I could not say it any better. Totally agree with you. Jan, I want to thank you for your time here. I know people can check you out at integritycounselingpa.com. And you and I were talking during the break. You're actually going to start a YouTube channel. That'd be a great resource, especially to direct maybe your young too or anyone who has interest in it. What is it up now or where are you with that?
It is. Yeah, I just got it up last week. And so if you look through my name, you know, Gian Millis, that's the, you know, the name of the page. And then the first video is just a welcome and introduction, just says a little bit more about myself and the direction I'd like to take the channel. You know, I have a specialization in drug and alcohol treatment, and of course, you know, of course, faith. So that's a little bit more, but I'll cover many more topics, mental health and Catholicism. So thanks so much for having me on, Drew.
I love it. Hey, thank you. And if you want to check out the YouTube page, his name is spelled Gian. His last name is Millis. And check it out. As I said, he handles everything from relationship problems and trauma and anxiety and depression and explosive anger and porn addictions and alcohol addictions and drug addictions and so much more. And I think you'll find a lot of merit in it. Gian, thanks. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Gotta leave it right there. When we come back, I'm going to change gears. And I don't know if you caught what Bill Maher has recently said. We do want to talk a little bit about what we see now unfolding with all of our politicians. You know, we got so many politicians right now that, they all are embracing this culture of death. You know, the Biden administration is threatening to impose new pro-abortion rules on employers. We talked a little bit about that. Pew Research, wait till you hear about this, that they claim that 6 in 10 Catholics say abortion should be legal. What? I mean, I find those numbers hard to believe. The Research Center recently published an article about trends in mass attendance, about abortion support, about the politics of Americans who identify as Catholics. And while Catholics oppose abortion, and I hope you would, right? 6 in 10 say abortion should be legal. Can somebody explain that to me? I mean, I don't understand the logic in that. If you oppose it and you know it's immoral, should it be legal? Should murder be legal? You know, I mean, why are we sending people to jail for killing their spouse who cheated on them, right? Or, you know, killed somebody else. You know, if you can kill a child, right, where do you draw the line? You know, there was a Catholic priest on X. He pointed out that the Pew survey included large numbers of self-identifying Catholics who do not regularly practice the faith, right? Goes back to what we talked about. They don't regularly attend Mass. So we see with that group, you know, we see the loss of, I think the loss of reason to think that, you know, yeah, I'm against abortion, but I think it should be legal. I don't get that at all. Bill Maher, and I'll tell you what he was saying, you know, and I, you know, Mar's an honest guy. He shares his opinion. Cringeworthy reasoning, though. He knows that abortion is murder, but he thinks it should be legal, too. So I want to talk a little bit about that. The governor of Arizona, she's for abortion as well. I think she supports it up to birth. We've got, of course, another Catholic, a guy named Xavier Becerra. You know, he is the HHS secretary. He can't say if he supports abortion up to birth. I mean, we're getting more macabre. It's not just abortion in cases of rape or incest. It's not just abortion when it's just, you know, some rare anomaly. During a hearing on Tuesday, the Biden administration Secretary of Health and Human Services refused to give a direct answer to Senator John Kennedy. I love John Kennedy. He's a Republican out of Louisiana. The guy's a hoot to listen to and to watch. And the lawmaker continued repeatedly to ask him to support, do you support full-term abortion? And here's a Catholic. I would certainly support the reestablishment of Roe v. Wade. You're not in communion with our faith then. Becerra stated, you know, he didn't give a yes or no. And again, we need to pray for him and all these people. I'll tell you what Mar said, and we'll get into all this when I return. Love to hear from you too. Stay with me. Dr. Craig Carraff joins me right after this.